It's my pleasure to join in the things said already and express my personal appreciation for your coming to be with us. We have visitors with us. We're glad to see you. Encourage you to take note of the things that are said, and if you find them to be in harmony with the Word of God, that you'll believe and obey them and teach them to others. It was brought to my attention in my Bible study that the Scriptures make their appeal to every man. I came across the words "every man" more than 250 times throughout the Old and New Testaments. I'd like to call our attention today to some things the Bible teaches concerning every man. I begin by pointing out the fact that the book teaches every man is responsible to give. When you go back to the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 16, you find that God in ancient times was very specific as to worship. He chose the place where the people were to worship, told them how to worship, and what to do and what not to do in their worship. In Deuteronomy 16 and verse 17, it is said, "Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee." And so you might take note of the fact that every man was responsible to give. And this giving instruction that concerned every man imposed upon him the duty to give as he was able. It's a good principle to learn, if we haven't learned already, that God expects of us what we're able. He does not expect any more of us than what we're able to do, nor will he accept any less. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and in verse 12, Paul penned, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Not only did God in Old Testament times expect every man to give, but he does today as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, when Paul wrote the church at Corinth concerning giving, he said in verse 7, note the first two words, "every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth," what's God love? "A cheerful giver." And so as you take note of what the Bible says concerning every man is responsible to give as he is able, and to give according as he purposeth in his heart. That word "purposeth" suggests our giving should be planned, we're prepared. Like Daniel, who prepared his heart that he would not defile himself. The word "purpose" is used in regard to Daniel. Not grudgingly or of necessity. Not out of a sense of, "I'm doing this because I have to do it," but cheerfully. But in addition to that, as I call attention to some things the Bible teaches concerning every man, not only is every man responsible to give, but the Scriptures often emphasize the fact that every man would be put to death for his own sin. That principle was established back in Deuteronomy 24 and in verse 16. It is written, "The father shall not be put to death for the children, neither shall the children be put to death for the fathers." Listen, every man shall be put to death for what? His own sin. You have to underscore that in your Bible. There's a false teaching widely believed today known as total hereditary depravity. Sometimes it's called original sin. It's the idea that you inherit your father's sin, and they got that from their fathers, and that goes all the way back to Adam. But this every man teaching would not allow for that. It's not that they had put to death for their father's sin or for Adam's sin, but every man put to death for his own sin. That teaches individual responsibility, personal accountability. In 2 Kings 14, reference was made to that principle when in verse 6, during the reign of Amaziah, the children of the murderers he slew not. Why not slay the children? According unto that which is written in the book of the law of Moses, wherein the Lord commanded, saying, the fathers shall not be put to death for the children, nor the children be put to death for the fathers, but every man shall be put to death for his own sin. If the doctrine of original sin be true, then he should have slain the children as well, because they would have been guilty, wouldn't they, if sin is inherited. Of course, the New Testament teaches this same principle. In Colossians chapter 3 and in verse 25, when Paul uttered, he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. And so when you study what the Bible teaches concerning every man, be reminded that every man would be put to death for his own sin. I take us a step further, though, to the book of 2 Chronicles, to chapter 6, and in verse 30. As I made my study concerning what the Bible says about every man, I noted when, in 2 Chronicles 6, Solomon uttered prayer when the temple was built, that in his prayer, he had this to say in verse 30, that the Lord would hear from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive and render unto every man according unto all his ways, whose heart thou knowest, for thou only knowest the hearts of the children of men. I learned from that passage, the Lord knows the heart of every man. That is, he knows your heart today, and he knows my heart. It's no wonder then that back in 1 Chronicles 28 and in verse 9, David admonished his son Solomon, saying, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. I need to understand today, the Lord knows the heart of every man. He knows your heart, and your heart, and your heart, and my heart. And as you make your study from Genesis to Revelation, you'll come across all different kinds of hearts. Makes a good study, Bible hearts. Like a willing heart, a hard heart, a loving heart, an obedient heart, a singing and making melody heart, and on and on and on and on it goes. The Lord knows your heart. What kind of heart do you have today? Since he knows the heart of every man. I'll tell you something else that came to my attention when I began to explore what this book says concerning every man. And that is the fact that the Lord renders to every man according to his work. So said the psalmist in Psalm 62 and verse 12. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. Listen. For thou, Lord, renderest to every man according to what? His work. The wise man also knew about that in Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 12. He said, if thou sayest, behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth he not know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? You and I need to be brought into remembrance of the fact that the Lord renders to every man according to his works. In Matthew 16 and verse 27, Jesus declared, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then when he comes, what's he going to do when he comes? He shall reward who? Every man. How's he going to reward every man? According to his works. You can't get away from that fact. In Romans 2:6, when Paul talked about the righteous judgment of God, he said, who will render to every man according to his deeds. What's that tell us about the judgment of God? It's worldwide in scope. It's going to be administered to every man. That includes you and me today. In that same context of Romans 2, in verse 10, he said, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil. Every man that doeth evil is going to be punished. The final book gives this every man instruction as well. In Revelation 20 and 13, when John talked about the dead and how that they were judged every man according to their works. In chapter 22 and verse 12, the Lord said, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Makes a good study. So things the Lord will bring with him when he comes. You know what he's going to bring? A reward. And he went on to say to give who? Every man according as his work shall be. It begs the question then, what kind of reward are we going to be getting when he comes? What kind of reward will he bring with him? It's going to be according to your work. According to my work. It's worldwide in that it's every man concerning, but yet individual in that it is according to his work. I need to always remember that. In light of the fact that we don't know what a day may bring forth, right? Proverbs 27, verse 1. But I tell you something else I need to know about every man. When I go back to the book of Jeremiah, I find that the plea of the prophets concerned every man when appeal was made for every man to return from his evil. In Jeremiah 26 and verse 3, during the reign of Jehoiakim, it was said, thus saith the Lord. You can't improve upon that, can you? We need preachers today who make their appeal to thus saith the Lord. Stand in the court of the Lord's house. Speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. We want them to speak, Lord. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. That is, don't leave anything out. Don't pull any punches. You know, oftentimes today in the Lord's house, it's not what is said as much as what is left unsaid. There are a lot of things that are not being said, a lot of things that are being left out, omitted. From gospel sermons today. Words are being diminished. They make a good study in of itself. And he went on to say, if so be, they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doings. You see, the people were evil in their doings, and the plea of the Lord was that you would stand in the Lord's house and appeal to them to turn every man from his evil way. And don't leave out a word. Sometimes when words are being left out, it diminishes from the cry and the call for every man to turn from his evil way. And that appeal was made repeatedly by Jeremiah and others. In chapter 35 and verse 15, I have sent also unto you all my servants the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, return ye now every man from his evil way, and amend your doings, and go not after other gods to serve them, and ye shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your fathers. But he said, ye have not inclined your ear nor hearkened unto me. How sad. Some of the saddest words ever spoken. When the Lord appealed to every man to repent, and they wouldn't do it. Not only was the plea of the prophets for every man to return, that was the call and the cry of Jesus and John and the apostles in the New Testament. When John came on the scene in the opening of the book of Matthew, chapter 3 and verse 2, he said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. You see, the word repent carries with it that idea of returning every man from his evil. Jesus also in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. The apostles made their plea for every man to repent. Acts 2:38. When they said, what shall we do? Repent and be baptized. Acts 3:19, repent and be converted. From Mars Hill in Athens, Acts 17:30. The times of this ignorance God winked at. But now what? Commandeth all men everywhere to repent. That's every man. I'll tell you something else, though, that occurred to me when I began to explore what this book says concerning every man. Come with me to the book of Zechariah. Next to the last book in the Old Testament. Zechariah and then Malachi. In Zechariah chapter 8 and in verse 16. These are the things that ye shall do. Make good study. Maybe you're teaching Bible class, going to preach a sermon. Speak on Wednesday night sometime. How about calling attention to these are the things that ye shall do. Among these things that ye shall do, he said, speak ye what? Truth. Who's he concerning there? Every man, listen to it. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. So when you think about these words, every man is to speak the truth. You know anybody that needs to be reminded of that? I do. How about you? You know, it's hard to find very many people today who you have confidence in, complete confidence, that they're going to speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Can folks have that confidence in you and me? That they're going to speak the truth. They're going to tell you the truth. You know, New Testament teaching also emphasizes this is something we need to be doing. Ephesians 4:25. Paul said, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man. You can't get away from those words, can you? Every man. They ring out often. Speak every man what? Truth with his neighbor. Speak every man truth. You and I need to speak the truth. We need to be reliable and trustworthy. Lying is one of the things the Lord hates. Remember Ananias and Sapphira and they lied? What happened to them? They died, didn't they? They lied and they died. Shows how God feels about that. And in Revelation 21 and in verse 8, John said, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Remember the virtuous woman? Did not Proverbs 31 tell about the virtuous woman that the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her? Wonder why that was. You think she lied to him? Could your heart safely trust in somebody that lied to you? Every man, speak the truth. And in connection with that truth speaking, we need to speak the words of truth, the words of God. As Jesus in his petition to the Father said, sanctify them through truth. Thy word is truth. John 17:17. But then one more this morning. And then, Lord willing, we'll continue this afternoon with some other teaching from this book concerning every man. I close this morning with John chapter 6. Verses 44 and 45. In John 6, 44, Jesus said, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. I wonder how exactly folks are drawn of God. No need to wonder anymore about that. Just read the next verse. He said in verse 45, it is written in the prophets. What's written in the prophets? Well, he's quoting Isaiah 54:13, where it is written, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, cometh unto me. Did you notice the every man teaching? Every man has the opportunity to come to the Lord. Every man needs to be taught. That's how we are drawn. That's how the Father draws us. It's not through some mysterious, mystical, miraculous means. But folks are drawn of God as they're taught of God. Now, there are those who would have us believe that every man can't come to the Father. Every man does not have that opportunity. Every man does not have that potential. Because of the doctrines of Calvinism, total hereditary depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, perseverance of the saints. Every man can't come is the consequence of those teachings. But Jesus said every man can. Every man has the opportunity. Why this every man teaching? If the tenets of Calvinism, which are widely held by many, be true. Every man, the Lord said, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. If all cannot come, why did Jesus in Matthew chapter 16 and in verse 24 say, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me? You see, the Lord's teaching is addressed to every man. And that makes every man a prospect for teaching. Every man needs to be taught. Every man has a soul, Matthew 16, 26, worth more than the whole world, that'll either be saved or lost. You know any men who need to be taught today? Who need to hear and learn? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Matthew 11, and in verse 28. And so there are seven examples of where the Bible appeals to every man. Every man is responsible to give. The teaching of Scripture with reference to every man being put to death for his own sin. The Lord knows the heart of every man, renders to every man according to his work. The appeal for every man to return from his evil. You have any evil you need to return from? Every man to speak the truth. And the fact that every man is to be taught so that he can come to the Father by Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14 and verse 6. We hope that this teaching concerning every man will make an impact upon you individually, and that you'll see how the Lord addresses each one of us and make application to ourselves. It's possible that you have evil you need to return from. We stand ready and willing to assist you in the process. It takes a heart like the prodigal had when he came to himself and said, I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say, Father, I've sinned. Perhaps you need to say that to your Father today, your Heavenly Father. I have sinned with a penitent heart. To not go back to the far country, but to stay home. Or it may be that you've not yet become a child of God. You need to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. We stand ready, willing and able to assist you. Would you believe with all of your heart? Turn from your sins, confess your faith in the Son of God, be baptized, and then be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, so that heaven may be your home. If we can help you in that way, won't you come now while we stand and sing the song?